Welcome to the Drive Phase Podcast, the best podcast for information on issues surrounding sports business in the Caribbean. On the Drive Phase, we have discussions with sport administrators, coaches, athletes, and various stakeholders in the sporting industry and examine their contribution to sports and entrepreneurship. Here's your host, Dalton Myers.
Thanks for that introduction, Colleen, and greetings, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Drive Phase Podcast. Of course, we have another great show lineup for you, and we hope that you will be enjoying it. Today, in the play of the day, I have with me Commonwealth Games and World Athletics silver medalist, Shanika Ricketts. Now, Shanika has been creating waves, and we suspect that she will be going to Tokyo 2021 and beyond, but she'll tell us more about that. Shanika, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let me just start out by asking you, Shanika, why triple jump and not long jump?
Why triple jump and not? The long jump is too easy. I think I enjoy the technical difficulty of triple jump. I've done the long jump in high school, and I'm not really a fan of the long jump as I am of the triple jump because it just goes by so fast.
but doesn't the triple jump go by very fast too?
No. I have three different phases to carry out along with the run-up, so it's very different from the long jump.
Which is more technical, isn't it, Shanika? And, you know, how do you manage to work on the different phases of the triple jump?
As you said, it's a very technical event. So there are a lot of different phases that constitute the triple jump. So we have to work on the run-up, which is the sprint to the board. And then we have to carry out a hop, a step, and a jump. So in order to train for the triple jump, we have to break it down in different phases. So we have sprint training for the first part of the jump. And then we also have to do strength training in order to carry out the remaining parts of the triple jump.
And obviously, I know little about triple jump, but there's so much strength work that has to go on background season and even during the season just to ensure that your body can manage all of that impact on the different joints.
Yes, definitely. I feel like every single year, it's a whole brand new experience. I was just talking to one of my teammates the other day, and we were talking about how difficult it is to go through the training session, especially during background, because that's when we have to make sure that we're training hard, we're lifting heavy to prepare for when the season comes on. So it's very difficult. It takes a lot of strength training. It takes a lot of agility, flexibility training and stuff like that. So it's a very difficult discipline to master.
Yeah, and I think I was saying it to you some time ago that the successes are minuscule, meaning that you're not going to be improving, you know, very far quickly. It's small improvements here and there, so it takes a lot of discipline and dedication to the event.
Yes, definitely. Sometimes it takes years to improve your personal best from just a few centimeters. And I think it's one of those events that you have to really focus on. It takes a lot of mental strength as well, because sometimes you feel like you should be doing a certain distance, and it does not mean that as soon as you go to compete, you will achieve that distance. So you have to keep focused, you have to keep working hard, and to just wait and see everything come to fruition.
Yeah. So take us back a bit to, let's start at Veer Technical and deciding to keep working on the jumps. What made you go to Veer Tech and then your decision to go to college overseas?
What made me choose Veer Technical High School? I went to St. Benedict's Primary School. That's one of the powerhouses of track and field at primary champs. I remember some of my teammates went to Vera Technical High School. So that was like the place to be, like the fastest girl in school went to Vera Technical High School. And obviously we would look up to that person. So that's one of the reasons why I thought, if she's at Vera Technical High School and she's doing well, then that's where I need to be. So that's how I ended up going to Vera Technical High School. I had to convince my parents to send me there because I did GSAT, passed for Alpha Academy. Actually went down there for the orientation, and then I wasn't feeling the vibe at Alpha, to be honest. So I just asked my mother to give me the chance to go to Vera Technical High School, and that's how I ended up there. After that, I went to San Diego State University. I remember I was approached by the head coach and the assistant coach from San Diego State University while I was at Penn Relays. And basically they told me how they would like to work with me at the collegiate level. And I was convinced by the offers that they were giving. So that's how I ended up moving from Vera Technical High School to San Diego State University.
And then from San Diego to the UWE training base, there are very few jumpers or field events persons who return to Jamaica to train. It's not the easiest decision, I'm sure, for everybody. I'm sure there are other motivations, but talk us through what made you decide to return, and you know, how has that been going for you?
To be honest, during my final year in college, as most college athletes can tell you as well, it's not very easy to make a decision as to where to go afterwards, because you're thinking about whether or not you should stay with your current coach or whether or not you should look to see other alternatives. I made the decision to move back home after college because I just thought it might be one of the best things to do at the time. I was not working. I did not have a shoe contract or anything like that. So financially, I feel like that would be a better decision to make as well. So I made the decision to move back home and to work with my now husband, Kerry Lee Ricketts. And we've been working together since that time, since 2014 until now. I've been based at the University of the West Indies campus. And it has been nothing short of an amazing journey. And I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Yeah.
You know, what people may want to know from you, Shanika, is how do you stay motivated in those times? Well, leading into now, because at that time, if I remember well, you would have been the only, you know, triple jump of any repute that would have been training with us. Your journey and your aim was really to be at the highest level. So how did you stay motivated? And the second part of that is that in Jamaica, when we have track meets, there aren't a lot of triple jumpers there to give you competition anyway. So how do you stay motivated is a simple question to that.
How do I stay motivated? I'm usually internally motivated, so I know exactly what I want. So it doesn't matter like what's happening around me or if the conditions are ideal or anything like that. I just feel like once I have a goal in mind, I do everything in my power to make sure that I can see that through. And sometimes it's difficult when we go to track meets, for instance, and I'm the only jumper or there's two of us. Sometimes we have to compete with the guys just to make up numbers, and it's very difficult, but I feel like those challenges are what push me to continue to work hard and to, you know, make sure that I'm doing everything that I intend to do.
In 2019, I'm going to fast forward a bit, Shanika, to 2019, would have been one of your better years in the sport and in the event. Talk to us about that feeling. I remember you doing well at Commonwealth Games 2018, going into 2019 World Championships. On the Diamond League circuit, I saw you jumping in the streets of Monaco. Talk to us about those kind of experience and what it is that you've been using to improve year by year.
2019 was one of those fairy tale seasons, to be honest. I remember in February on my birthday, I jumped 14.76 meters, which was at the time a world lead. I didn't expect to jump that big that early in the season. And as the year progressed, I kept improving. I went to the Pan Am Games and jumped another personal best, which set everything up quite nicely for the Diamond League final and then World Championships ultimately. So I feel like 2019 was one of those years where I was a big student of the sport, I'll put it that way. I was learning a lot of things. I was also putting myself in a position to unlearn some of the things that I thought were best at that time. And I feel like it was the combination of so many things that led to us being so successful that year.
That year was a really good one for you. And I suspect though that you should have been seeing it coming in, you know, certainly 2018 wasn't a bad one for you. That was Comm Games down in Gold Coast, Australia. But as you said, jumping that far so early in 2019 kind of set up everything for you for that year.
Yes, definitely. Since 2018, I remember I jumped 14.52, I think it was, to get the silver medal at the Commonwealth Games. And the year before, I was not jumping anywhere close to that. So I knew that I was getting better, and it was just a matter of time before I started to see even bigger jumps coming forth.
Give us, my producer is listening somewhere. She really don't know much about this event, but give us on a particular day, what are some of the things that you do in training, Shanika? Because people think you just get out there and you just jump in the pit and that's it. But for training, you know, on a typical workout day, you know, give us the life of Shanika one day from getting up in the morning until the evening.
Yeah, so I would wake up in the morning, grab some breakfast. I like eggs, so I'm usually making like eggs and bread or porridge. I'm a porridge person, stuff like that. And then do my normal like stretches and or core work before going to training. And then a training now would go through a series of warm-ups. To prepare the muscles for whatever it is that you're doing. So some days I would do plyometrics or gym work or sprint work. So sometimes we train as sprinters. Sometimes we have to lift heavy like chores and stuff like that. And then other days it's flexibility. So that's pretty much what we do every day.
Amazing. So I know Kerry Lee Ricketts because we had worked at the University of the West Indies. What is it like your coach being your husband being your coach? Is it like difficult or is it like, yo, we know each other and he understands what makes me tick in terms of just performance and stuff like those?
I feel like I get this question all the time.
You will.
And I feel like the same answer goes all the time. It never gets easy. It's not difficult either because we know each other on a personal level. We have to make sure that at training we try our best to be professionals and try not to be I don't know. It's difficult sometimes because, so for instance, you find it difficult to separate the husband from the coach, and you might want to say something to your husband in training, but you can't because he's not a husband at that time, he's the coach at that time. So it's been a challenge for us some days, and it's easier some days than other days.
So you don't tell him, like, if he show too hard at you, say, yo, if you ever shout again when he reach home, you not talk to him, you know?
And give some of those. Yes, I've done that. Honest. That has happened to us before, to be quite honest. But that's why I tell you, it's not easy, and it doesn't get any easier, right? Especially on the hard days.
But it has been working, and I suspect there is something there that he seemed to keep getting more and more out of you.
Yes, we definitely have a good relationship, coach-athlete relationship, and as you have seen, we've been getting results over the years, so it definitely works.
And results helps, because in Jamaica, where we're so focused on the track, whether we're doing well or not on it, the field events kind of, you know, are pushed on the back burner. And so, see, do you feel, I should ask, that added pressure to ensure you do well so that Jamaicans can pay more attention to your event?
I sometimes really do feel the pressure, but at the same time, we have to be careful not to put on too much stress on ourselves, because that can lead to a reduction in the quality of our performances as well. I feel like it's our responsibility somewhat to make sure that we maintain a performance that is in such a way that is inspiring to the next generation, so they can see us and know that Jamaica is not only producing talents in the 100 meters or the sprinting events. We also have great athletes in the triple jump, in the shot put, in the discus. So we're doing well in other events, in field events at the world stage. So young athletes don't just see themselves, don't just feel like they have to do well in the, they have to do the 100 meters or the 200. They can also venture into other events, because we're doing well in all of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. We were talking about 2019 and how great that was for you, Shanika. And then 2020, you would have been preparing for Tokyo 2020 when the entire country, well, the world, stopped because of COVID-19. You know, help us to understand how challenging that has been for you and how you've tried to stay motivated despite everything that is happening.
To be honest, coming out of Doha, I actually picked up a knee injury during background season. So when the pandemic came, it actually worked in my favor, because I honestly would not have been ready for the Olympic Games. I had to use all that time to rehab the knee injury and to get myself back on track. So I feel like it was a blessing in disguise, because honestly, I would not be ready for the Games in Tokyo last year. So I'm just using this pandemic to get myself back on track. Training has been going great so far. No injury, no niggles, no anything like that. We've all had to readjust to the new normal. Right now we're competing. I have a track meet on Saturday. It's different. We have to wear a mask. We have to social distance. We have to do all of that. But I think we just have to make the most of the opportunities that we still have. The country is not under full lockdown, and we still have the opportunity to train. We still have the opportunity to compete. So we just have to make use of that and just get ready for the Tokyo Games.
Well, if you don't mind, what are some of the things you're kind of working on now, Shanika, without telling too much secrets, in terms of just trying to ensure that you remain on top of your game? Because, you know, other athletes are just always coming up, and some of those who are there are trying to make a comeback.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part.
What are some of the things you're trying to work on now leading up to Tokyo 2020, because I was saying that there are some younger athletes who are coming up trying to take your space, and then there are some of the older, more mature ones who are trying to make a comeback.
Some of the things, I just have to keep the things that are actually working. There's always room to improve, so I'm definitely working on getting stronger, getting faster, holding the phases more in the jumps and stuff like that. And I'm just really looking forward to being in shape and staying injury-free, because that's one of the biggest things, because sometimes you can be in the best shape or you can be having the best season of your life and then here comes the injury. So I just hope that I can remain injury-free throughout this season and to just continue to improve and to get consistent jumps going up into the championship, into the Olympic Games.
Olympic Games, and certainly I'm sure you're looking forward to next year, World Athletic Championships and probably Commonwealth Games, who knows?
Yes, definitely. All of those are on the table.
The other question that I thought I would get from you, so I know we're now having a Ricketts Performance Center. Quite a number of youngsters are that Kerrilee is recruiting into that. How has that been going, and how does it feel now to have some youngsters around you who you can motivate and give some inspiring words?
Yes, so the Ricketts Performance Center has not yet been launched, but it is a registered company, and the group was formed sometime last year, just during the same time that the pandemic came along. So we definitely have one main goal, which is to produce athletes who are trying to make it to the Olympic Games. Everyone there is motivated. Everyone there is trying their best to represent their country and to improve as athletes. So I feel like having them as training partners, we're all there on the same mission. We have the same goals, and it's just a very good working environment.
Yeah, so Shanika, tell me about what advice do you have for youngsters who may want to do long jump, triple jump, field events? You know, what are some of the advice that you would have for them who want to get into this event and want to get into track and field?
Some advice I would give to athletes who want to do the event is to go for it. Be yourself. Don't change for acceptance or compare yourself to anybody else. Everybody is different. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses. And we will face challenges, because challenges are a part of our daily lives. So we just have to learn to push past them and go the extra mile to achieve your goals. Trust the process. Be patient with yourself, and don't expect things to always work out that the exact way that you envision them to go, because life is not a blueprint. You will have detours. Celebrate small victories. Don't just wait until you achieve the goal that you set out. Celebrate an improvement in training, stuff like that, because at the end of the day, you just have to learn to appreciate things as they come, and not just wait until things work out exactly how you want for it to be.
How do you want to be remembered, Shanika? When you give up the triple jump spikes, you know, how do you want Jamaicans or just the world to remember you?
I just want to be remembered as one of the best triple jumpers in the world, someone who gave it they're all, and hopefully I can impact some lives on the way as well.
And what's next for you? Now, I don't suppose, I'm not telling you that you're retiring this year or anything like that, but I'm sure it's at some point it is something you'll look at, you know, after track and field. What do you think is next for Shaniqua? Or what are some of the things you're working on now?
I have a couple things in mind that I would be interested in. I don't have one per se right now. I think I enjoy sports journalism. I also like sports management, sports agent, stuff like that. So I'm not limiting myself just now because I feel like I still have a good while to go before retirement. But those are some of the things that I would be interested in.
I hear the sport agent part is a headache one. I don't know.
Yes.
But so I've heard. but those are some good ones. My producer is in journalism. Probably you should talk to her. Not yes. She's in journalism, but that's what she did at Carimac. And she graduated, so she can't be that bad, you know. So I'll put you through to her and you can talk with her. I'm sure she can give you some good advice. You know, certainly says when you're ready for that. Is the national record one of those that you're looking to smash?
Definitely. I've had my eyes set on that for quite some time now, and I feel like a scratch record keeps saying, I'm hoping to jump over 15 meters. So this year I'm just trying my best to switch the focus from just a number per se and to just try my hardest to get the national record and to just see how far I can actually jump.
Yeah. Have you ever like do that one jump and when you cut the sand, you're like, this is it. And then you see like a red flag or hear them call some numbers that you're like, huh? That ever happened to you?
Heartbreaking. I remember in Doha on the final jump. I think I was supposed to bring the marker forward by half a shoe. And I did that and I actually fouled by a pinch, like a nail. And then when I saw the replay, like it looked like a 15 meters jump and it just taunted me the whole time because you can't go back and redo it. Right. It's just gone. But yeah. I feel like when you see jumps like that, it's just motivation to say, well, okay, I did not get it here, but obviously it's there. It's just a matter of getting it on the board and getting the jump measured. So I just use those type of situations as motivation going into the next competition and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think it kind of show you that you're just with slight adjustments.
Exactly.
You can jump very far.
Adjustments that makes the difference.
Yeah. Listen, I feel it for you guys, jumpers, throwers, because anything can cause a foul jump, etc. It could be just the wind. It could be just that you make a quick step trying to breeze through the wind. It could be just any, or the wind in your back can push you.
Anything.
Like,
just, and then sometimes, like the wind fluctuates throughout the competition. So like this time you're running down the runway and it's 1.9, the next one, it's 1.2, and then that can throw off your marker by a small bit, and then you end up fouling a potential good jump. So it's very complicated.
It is. Let me tell you, I wouldn't do it. I would not do it at the highest level. So I have a lot of respect for you and all the people who, you know, continue to work on jumps, on throws, because it, based on what I look on, and when I talk to people like Kerry Lee Ricketts, Julian Robinson, etc., it just looked like hard work, you know, that I can't manage. So I've been going up, and I've traveled already with you or watch you compete. So I kind of know the hard work that you put in the sport. And I've said it to you before that I know you're going to match that national record. And I just don't know why I think it is going to be very, very soon. I think.
I know Trisha is.
It is there for the taking for you. May I ask though, how is the competition, the rivalry between you and Kimi? How do you use that to push you forward, or you just know that it's there and you guys just compete?
Honestly, I don't really see it much as of like a rivalry because we've been competing together since Veritech days.
Right.
And then we made the transition to college. I competed with her at the NCAAs, I think, one time. And then from NCs to the international level. So I don't really see it much as a rivalry because we're both representing Jamaica and everything that we do represents Jamaica as well. So we see it more like teaming.
You know, let me ask you this, and I probably know the answer, but what would you want to see more? What kind of resources or what kind of things would you want to see from the authorities in Jamaica, you know, towards your sport and towards your discipline?
As it relates to my sport?
As it relates to track and field and just triple jump and support for triple jump or field events, what more would you want to see from a J3 government, etc.?
I feel like one of the things that the J3 and the Jamaica Olympic Association could do is to invest more in the athletes. A lot of times, we have the talent, but most of them are not from a wealthy background, or they may not have the financial resources to pay for certain things, to pay for coaching, to pay for physiotherapy, and all the nurse and chiropractor and stuff like that, that's necessary in order to get to the next level. So I feel like greater investments could be made in the athletes as well as some of the coaches to ensure that they can make it to the next level.
What are the targets for Shanika for 2021? What are some of the targets you sat down with Coach Kerrilee Ricketts and you're like, okay, these are what we want to meet for the 2021 season?
Yeah, so for the 2021 season, Coach Ricketts, Kerrilee Ricketts and I, we're basically targeting being on the podium again, because we were on the podium in Doha, and anything less than that would be a step down. So we definitely hope to go on the podium. The national record is also in sight, and to just be consistently jumping over 15 meters. So those are some of the targets that we have for 2021.
Amazing. Listen, Shanika, personally, just wishing you all the best for this season. I think most people know that you are an amazing talent and great personality also. So we always want you to do well. And you did go to Veritech, which is close to where I live in Clarendon. So that makes it also special. And you were at UWE. So all the best, Shanika, and the hail of Coach Kerrilee Ricketts for me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great having you. That's Shanika. I almost said that's Kerrilee Ricketts. That's Shanika Ricketts. Her goal this year, get back on the podium. And we think that she can. So on behalf of the entire production team, Rashika Grant, producer, Marsha Boyce, and everyone who helps with the Dry Face podcast, this has been another episode of the Dry Face podcast. Let us know what you think about this episode or any other episode that you have listened to. The feedback has been great so far. Keep leaving feedback on whichever platform you use, Apple Podcasts, etc. And also you can do so on our YouTube channel. That's the Dry Face Media. Please subscribe to the channel and click the notification bell. Check out our website. It is thedrivephase.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Stitcher, so you'll never miss an episode. I mean, there are so many directories out there you can use to listen to the show. We're everywhere. Remember, we'd appreciate a rating on any of these platforms that you use. look for anything, a star, whatever, and click that. Go tell a friend about the show so they too can spread the word, and feel free to send feedback, comments, suggestions, anything. And look us up on social media. We're on Twitter, The Drive Phase JA, Facebook and Instagram, we're The Drive Phase, and use the hashtag TDP. Until next time, see you then.